Welcome to the International Community Church Podcast. For more information about International Community Church, visit us on the web at www.icchurch.us. It was on Thursday, and he said, "We're about to go and see a show in London." I could never say it right. How do you say it? Les Miserables? Les Miserables. I call it Les Miserables. So I said to my dad, why are you paying money to go and see that? You're miserable enough already. You think I'm joking? No, I am joking. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to continue this refined theme. And our base point is that wonderful chapter in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there. That's where we're going to kind of venture out from. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. But last week, we looked at how God refines us. God is always refining us. That's what we looked at. Through the trials and difficulties, God is wanting to bring out the good from the bad and the ugly. And if we allow God, if we allow Him, He's going to keep purifying our faith so it becomes like gold, right? Nice, bright, shiny gold. So here we go. We're in 1 Peter 1 verse 6. These are the two verses we kind of take off from. This is what Peter says. He says, "There is wonderful joy ahead, Christians. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Isn't that wonderful? You may say, like I've said, what's he saying there? Why is he saying there's wonderful joy ahead, even though we have to endure and put up with and deal with bad stuff and trials? Well, the reality is we're passing through this earth, right? Do you realize that? This really isn't home. This is just a tent we're living in right now. Our home is in heaven, isn't it? And that's why he could say there is wonderful joy ahead. Even though there can be joy found in the journey, there's joy ahead knowing that we're just passing through and we're going to get to the other side. You know, it amazes me how God, totally amazes me how God is always wanting to recycle us. He never gives up. He's always wanting to better us. Yeah, do you believe that? He doesn't look at you and me and say, "You're done, I'll put you on the shelf now." And I'm glad of that. I'm really glad. Because I know I need a lot more work. That's for sure. But God is always wanting to recycle us. And what we think is useless, God looks down and says, that's actually useful. I think that's useful. I see potential in you. You say you've got a weakness. I see a strength, God says. You see, God don't look in the same mirror we look at. He's always wanting to transform us. You know, I have great respect for people that can take, you know, the old saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure or whatever. You know, there are actually people that drive around Walmart at night, do you realize, and jump in dumpster diving, it's called. Did you realize that? In fact, there's a guy who I know, I'm not going to say his name, you'll know him, but he goes around at night going behind Walmart and he comes out with all kinds of cool stuff that they're throwing out. But one man's trash is another man's treasure. And I've always had great respect for people that could take things that are like garbage and just recreate something with them. Look at this guy here. Can you see that? That is actually a boat made out of soda, plastic soda bottles. Isn't that cool? That was taken 2 seconds before he sank and got eaten by crocodiles. But it was good at the time. No, those are like hundreds of plastic Sprite and Coca-Cola bottles. What a great idea. Genius. This is even better. Can you see that guy? That's actually Rick Carlson in his backyard. Right there. So, They actually said, can we do the next baptismal service at our house? I'm like, well, you know, we'll keep it traditional at the church here. Now, that is a great idea, isn't it? Hey? Anybody got any spare tractor tires? Because me and Sean will take them. Yeah. See, Michelle knows all the details. Ask her how she knows all the details later. But she's very well versed in this. But yes. But I'm not the most creative of people, but I was quite proud of myself last year because I really got into the running thing. I know you're going, oh, he's going to talk about the marathon. No. I got into the running thing and thanks, Christy. And you'll know what I'm talking about, Christy. You have to get the right gear, the right shoes and everything. And one thing you've got to do, and one thing I loved about running was I loved taking my phone and listening to like podcasts or messages, different people speaking. Because when you're running for like 3 hours or crazy like that, you got to keep your mind occupied. Otherwise, you just go crazy. Some of you are saying, Mark, we knew you were crazy already, but trust me, I could get even crazier. So I would listen to worship music or upbeat music. I'd have a mix. I'd have all kinds of different songs going on. But the thing is, right, when you're running, you can't really hold your phone. You've got to buy the right gear, right, Christy? Right? So I went to like the sports store and I went to Walmart because Walmart's always cheaper than Dick's Sporting Goods. And even at Walmart, you get this, you've probably seen people who run, they strap it round and it's like a sleeve thing, right? Like $20 just for a little bit of plaid, ridiculous. $20 just for that. So I bought one and ended up taking it back because it was horrible, right? And my phone wouldn't come out. And I'm running and I'm looking like some crazy person in a straitjacket just trying to get my phone out to change the song or whatever. Anyway, thank you, Jesus, for Pinterest. Is that how you say it? Pinterest? They come up with these creative ideas. And I just happened to see something. And I got really inspirational. And it was this. You get an old tube sock, just a cheap one. So I went to Goodwill. And I got two pairs for like a dollar, those tight tube socks. And you snip the foot off, and you pull it up your arm, and then pull it up again so it makes a sleeve. And I could really snugly put my phone in. And I'm not kidding, for just a dollar, I got two of these, four of these now. And it was like 100 times better than the $20 one at Walmart. And I tell you, that run, that first run with that on my arm, every time I went past another runner, I went, $1, how much you pay for yours? That's what I was thinking, right? And that run just went by so smoothly and quickly because I was just so, so proud of myself. But recycling. God's recycling us. Like I said last week, we're all a work in progress. And God is refining us, and he's also recreating us. Not just refining, bringing out the gold, but he wants to recreate us. That's why Paul said it was important for us to make allowances for each other. And this verse is an interesting verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. This is what Paul said to the church, to the Christians. He said, hey, he said, guys, don't forget this, but you've got to make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Make allowance for each other's faults. Isn't that a challenging comment right there? Because Paul knew basically that, hey, we're all being refined. God's recycling all of us. And as a family, as a church, we're not always going to see eye to eye. We're not always going to get on. Sometimes we could be close to people and they can rub us the wrong way. Is it just me? Or do you associate with this? Trust me, everybody can have a problem with anybody at some point in time. It just happens. That's life, isn't it? But it amazes me how easy it can be for myself to forget that God is still working on me. It's so easy for me to forget that I am not the finished article. I found it can be so easier for me to look at other people and see the faults in them and forget about me, my own life. Always easier to look out of a window than to look into a mirror, is it not? But like we've heard so many times, the reality is this, we're all broken people. Yeah? We're all broken people and God is slowly putting us together again. In other words, we are all Christians and non-Christians, we're all umpty-dumpties. And we're not looking for the King's men to put us together again. We've got the King of Kings putting us back together again. But it's a process, right? I mean, I know you hear stories sometimes, and they're true. God can change somebody's life, like from being a drug addict to an axe murderer, and within like 6 months, you know, they're totally transformed, and within a few minutes, they're like raising people from the dead. You hear these stories. That can happen. I'm not knocking that, but most of the time, change and transformation is a process, and it can often last a lifetime, right? That's what I've found anyway. That's why Paul said, make allowance for each other's faults. Because Paul got it. Paul knew that he wasn't there. He wasn't perfect, and he knew that the rest of the church wasn't there, if they were honest. And he said, guys, we've got to get together. We've got to make allowance for each other's faults. Because we're all a work in progress. It explains why so often people can annoy each other or argue or fall out or just not get along, even if they're Christians. It is what it is. I heard an old story. It's called The Story of the Rolls Royce and the Yugo. You know what a Yugo is, anybody? The old cars? I asked Ken, he kind of gave me some history here. But the Yugo, a lot of the younger people are like, what? I guess it was like just a tiny car from Yugoslavia. Apparently, not according to Wikipedia, but to Ken Beeson, it was the only car that Yugoslavia ever created, right, Ken? And it made it over here to America. Anybody remember those cars? Anybody ever have one of those cars? But I know they're kind of the butt of all jokes, and they're kind of these little beta cars, you know. But anyway, there's a story called The Story of the Yugo and the Rolls Royce. It says this, a guy driving a Yugo pulled up at a stoplight next to a Rolls Royce. The driver of the Yugo rolled down his window and shouted to the driver of the Rolls Royce, hey buddy, nice car you got, but let me ask you, have you got a phone in your Rolls Royce? Because I've got one in my Yugo. Driver of the Rolls Royce looks over and simply says, yeah, I've got a phone in my Rolls, definitely. So the driver of the Yugo says, cool man, hey, you got a fridge in there? Have you got a fridge? Because I've got a fridge in the back seat of my Yugo. Driver of the Rolls Royce looks annoyed now. He says, yeah, I have a refrigerator. Yeah, sure. Driver of the Yugo says, that's great, man. How about a TV? Have you got a TV back there? You know, because I've got a TV in the back seat of my Yugo. Driver of the Rolls Royce looks really annoyed now, says, of course I have a TV. A Rolls Royce is the finest luxury car in the whole world. Driver of the Yugo says, that's cool, man. You got a cool car. But hey, you got a bed in there? Have you got a bed in the back of your car? Because I've got a bed in the back of my Yugo. Really upset, the driver of the Rolls Royce had to admit, no, I don't have a bed. And he just sped off away. He went straight to the car dealer where he promptly ordered that a bed be installed in the back of his Rolls Royce. And the next morning, the driver of the Rolls Royce picked up the car and the bed looked absolutely wonderful, complete with silk sheets and brass trim. It was clearly a bed fit for a Rolls Royce. The driver of the Rolls Royce started driving all around town searching for the Yugo. He drove all day long and finally, late at night, he found the Yugo parked with all the windows fogged up from the inside. The driver of the Rolls Royce got out, knocked on the Yugo. When there wasn't any answer, he knocked and knocked again and eventually the owner stuck his head out of the window soaking wet. The Rolls-Royce driver says, hey, I just want you to know, buddy, I now have a bed in the back of my Rolls-Royce car. The driver of the Yugo looked at him and said, you got me out of the shower just to tell me that? You know, it's kind of a silly story, right? But it kind of illustrates how, as human beings, it's in our nature very often to compete, to compare, and to complain. Right? And God reminds us in Colossians chapter 3 there, Paul says, make allowance for everybody's faults. He reminds us, hey, remember, I forgave you. Remember, you're not exactly perfect. Now you be willing to forgive others, and also remember my grace, and make allowances for other people's faults. That doesn't mean that we just let anything go when we make allowances for other people's faults, right? That doesn't mean we can't encourage one another and put an arm around somebody and encourage them to do the right thing. That doesn't mean we just allow people to walk all over us. But what it does mean is we have to understand that everybody's a work in progress, right? Not everybody's perfect, and neither are you. We could say it this way, as Paul used an illustration. We could remember that really all we are lumps of clay. Doesn't that make you feel wonderful this morning? You are very beautiful lumps of clay. But still, we are all lumps of clay in the potter's hands. And if we look at that from Paul's perspective, it kind of gives us a little bit of understanding. You know, in Isaiah chapter 64, these words were said. It says, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hands. We are the clay. You are the potter. You know, three words in that verse that stands out to me more than any is by your hands. By your hands. I often fall in the trap of thinking what I have, who I am, what I've got is by my hands. But it's not. Everything I have, everything I am, any penny I've got in the bank, any vehicle, I put my foot down on the gas pedal, it's not by my hands, it's only by His. Right? And so it is for all of us, because we are, as the verse said, we are the clay. He is the potter. So, I have respect for people. I respect people who are in high offices across the land. I have respect for pastors. I'm a pastor myself. But really, to an extent, I'm not into titles. Degrees are good. I encourage kids to go to college and get a degree. But you know what? At the end of the day, whether you have all the degrees in the world, whether you have all the titles and all the signs on your office door, you're still a piece of clay. Correct? And you're still in the potter's hands. So it should really make no difference. You see, when it comes to the church, we should treat, and I know we do, but it's good to be reminded, and this is what Paul was kind of getting at here, make allowances for each other. But we should treat and respect and help anybody who comes through those doors, whether they be a politician or a prostitute. They're still a lump of clay in God's hands. Whether they're a doctor or a drug dealer, they are still a lump of clay in the potter's hands. We're all clay. So let's help one another to become the men and women that God wants us to be. Paul says this in Romans chapter 9. He says, a potter has a right to do what he wants to do with the clay, does he not? The potter can make something for a special occasion or something for an ordinary occasion from that same lump of clay. I don't have all the answers to life. I don't know why some people are successful and others are not. Could be a whole different number of reasons for that one. But I do know that God sometimes has us for specific tasks and circumstances, and He's a potter, we are the clay. So if we are the clay, we're to be malleable, right? Which means soft enough for Him to mold and shape and to build into the vessel that He wants, because He's always wanting to recreate us, yeah? So that means that our character is constantly under construction. So how does God mold and shape the clay of our lives? How does He transform us into His vessels? Paul puts it this way. This is what he said to the Christians in Rome in Romans chapter 5 verse 3. He said these words. He says, "We have joy in our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience, and patience will produce character, and character will produce hope. And hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts." What was Paul doing here? He was encouraging the Christians, and he encourages us this morning. They were going through great deals of persecution at that time. But through it all, he was reminding them that God wasn't finished with them yet. It may be painful, the process they're going through, but he's not finished with them yet because he was forming and shaping them. And so he is today. You know, a good mechanic can know a problem by just hearing an engine before he even has to pop the hood. You know? I know it helps to pop the hood. I've listened to some of these talk shows on the radio, you know. Sometimes you have a guy show on, and it's like car problems. They have people call in. And I heard it one day, and there was this really good mechanic on, and basically he was diagnosing car problems over the radio just by people with the cell phones by the engine, you know. And he'd say, "Just give it a rev," you know. And he'd be like, "Ah, that's your carburetor," or whatever. You know, he could just tell by the sound. It was incredible. God does that. God knows us. God knows the murmurings, the moanings, the frustrations, the pain of our hearts. God knows us so well. You know, I could tell when, I could tell when Sean's car's pulling up at home by just hearing the engine, because every car has a different kind of tone to the engine, right? God knows us even better than that. But you know what? He wants to fix us. And to fix us, he has to get under the hood. He knows what we're going through. He knows what the problems are. But we still have to pop the hood. And God's saying, and Paul's saying to the Christians, he's saying, look, we're always under construction. You're not finished yet. God knows the details. God knows what you need. God wants to fix you. Will you pop the hood? You know, to be a follower of Jesus, we've said this before, is to allow God to refine you through the flames and the trials, but it's also to allow God to shape you into his tool, to position you on his anvil. You know, we often think that being a Christian is just putting your hand up saying, "Yes, save me." But that's just the beginning, isn't it? We often say, "Jesus is my Lord and Savior." Well, he's our Savior because he saved us from hell, but the thing we often forget is he's also our Lord. Which is a whole nother arena, right? Be my Lord and Savior. I don't want to go to hell. Throw me the life raft. Forgive me. Save me. Job done. I'll go to church when I feel like it. But we kind of forget the Lord bit, right? Becoming a Christian is just the beginning. There are upgrades. There are new horizons. There are things that God wants to do and install. He just doesn't want to just save you. He wants to transform you. Right? We often think, okay, save me. Pull me out the river. I'm drowning. Help. Thank you, Jesus. Gets you out the river. And then God comes to you with a towel, dries you off, and he's like, okay, now will you get on my anvil? Will you let me shape you? I'm not here just to save you. I'm here to transform you completely. I'll pull you out the river. I'll pull you out the flames of hell. I'll dry you off. Let's get to work, kiddo. Because I want to use you. You could be my tool if you let me. You could be my vessel. Right? But God wants us to be on his anvil. I don't know if you can see that picture real clearly there, but that's an anvil. Anvil is like this big metallic object that you can hammer and shape tools on, heat them up. It's just like unmovable, that thing. If you ever, anybody wants to throw something at your head, don't let them throw an anvil, okay? Not a good idea. Those things are as tough as they come. But God has an anvil. I love the author, Max Lucado. This is what he said about God's anvil. Listen carefully, he said this. He said, "In the shop of a blacksmith, There are three types of tools. There are tools that are on the junk pile. They're outdated, broken, dull, rusty. Those tools sit. They sit in the cobwebs of a corner, useless to the master, oblivious to the calling. And there are tools on the anvil. They're melted down, molten hot, moldable, and changeable. They lie on the anvil, being shaped by the master, accepting the calling. There are also tools of usefulness, tools that have been sharpened, primed, defined, and mobile. Those tools lie ready in the blacksmith's tool chest, available to the master, fulfilling their calling. Then this is what he says. It's interesting. He says, some people lie useless, with the lives broken, the talents wasting away, the fires quenched, the dreams dashed. They are tossed in with the scrap iron in desperate need of repair, with no notion of purpose. Other people, they lie on the anvil, with their hearts open wide, they're hungry to change, the wounds are starting to heal, the vision is becoming more clear. They welcome the painful pounding of the blacksmith's hammer, longing to be rebuilt, begging to be called. And there are other people that lie in the master's hands. They're well-tuned, they're uncompromising, they're polished, and they're productive. They respond to the master's forearm, demanding nothing, surrendering all. Max Lucado says this, he says, we're all somewhere in the blacksmith's shop. It's just a question of which one of those three. We're either on the scrap pile, in the master's hands, or on the anvil. Some of us have been in all three. From the shells to the workbench, from the water to the fire. I'm sure that somewhere you will see yourself. You know, Paul spoke of becoming an instrument for noble purposes. And what becoming it is. The rubbish pile of broken tools, the anvil of recasting, the hands of the master. Man, it's a joyful and painful voyage at the same time. It's a process. And for you who make that journey, who leave the heap and enter the fire, who dare to be pounded on that anvil of God, that's where you find purpose. That's where you take courage. That's where you await for the privilege of being called God's chosen instruments. You know, you may be here today and you may say, you know what, Mark, God can't change me. Then I would say this, you obviously haven't been, or you haven't put your life on the anvil. Trust me, God can change anyone. You may say, why would God want to use me? I'm worthless. You're not worthless. God thinks you're to die for. Literally. God looks at you. You may be on the scrap heap of life, but God looks at you and he says, you know what? I see value in you. You may think you're the empty plastic, discarded Sprite bottle. God says, I can build a boat out of that. God sees value where we do not. God can use anyone. God can change any life as long as they place themselves on the anvil. I mean, look at it. He used David, right? Adulterer, murderer. He used Rahab, the prostitute. He used Moses, another murderer. To go on the anvil is to say this, God, that means it's not my will anymore, but yours, God. You have your way in my life. Use me. It may mean being on the anvil. It may mean reorganizing priorities in life. It may mean you have to quit a bad relationship or a habit, or it may mean something else that's difficult and uncomfortable for you. But that's often where God molds and shapes me and keeps doing that into the tool that he can use. Remember, the Christian life isn't just about God saving us, but it's about God saving us, drying us off, and then getting us on the anvil and transforming us to use for his glory. So I would say this morning, keep the faith. When times are hard, and they may well be for you right now, when seasons are dry, what do? We keep on keeping on. Why? Because Paul said God is still working on us. That's when he's forming the steel within us. We're always being refined and always being recreated. You know, to be flat out honest with you, even this week, I've had wrong attitudes and wrong thoughts. And I felt the refiner, the reshaper saying to me through the Holy Spirit, Mark, let it go. Let it go. Give it to me. Give me that frustration. Give me that anger. Give me that disappointment. Other weeks in my life, I've felt the Holy Spirit say as I've been lying on the anvil, take the high road. Or humble yourself. Or go and apologize. And each time I've responded, I felt that hammering of God reshaping my life. I felt the bang, bang, hammer, hammer, the chisel going away and continuing to form my character. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I'll be the first to say I often mess up and I can often miss a beat to God's rhythmic drum. My walk with God sometimes can sometimes just be a stutter. But I keep on keeping on. And I hear and feel bang, bang, hammer, hammer, chisel, chisel on my life. And I have to keep going back to the anvil. So as long as you're still here, God has big hopes and big dreams. He's got big blueprints for your life. Stay on the anvil. Don't be a locked up tool. A locked up tool or on the scrap heap, you'll always be searching for a meaning and a purpose in life. But when you stay, when you keep positioning yourself on that anvil and saying, not my will, but yours, God. I'm in it for the long haul. I don't understand what's going on, Lord, but I know and I trust in you. That's when the master craftsman goes to work. Remember, we're being refined and recreated for better things. God's not in the business of beating people up. But God is in the business of pulling us out of our trials and tribulations and reshaping and refining us so that we're better, so that we're more advanced in the game when we come out the other side, yes? God took a young, beat-up, abandoned boy called Joseph, and through years and years of process, he refined and recreated him from pit to prison to palace, man. Recreated him into one of the top rulers of the land. God took a lonely young shepherd boy called David and refined and recreated him into a giant slayer and future king of Israel. God took a murderer called Moses and through process and journeying, refined and recreated him into a great leader of Israel. It's what God does best. He takes our broken lives and refines and recreates us into his vessels and tools that he wants to use for his glory. So take heart this morning. God is not finished with you yet. God's not finished with you. As painful as it is, as discouraged as you may be, just remember, it's probably because you're on the anvil. It's probably because God's shaping you for better things to come. He's giving you a better story. He's giving you more ways you can reach out and help other people in life. I'm now, and Sean now is doing a divorce care group. As much as I hated divorce and going through it, and I would never advise anybody to go through it for sure. But you know what? It was an anvil process. And I'm able to talk to people now about divorce where I couldn't before. So stay on the anvil and trust that the master craftsman as your best purposes in mind. Yeah? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you that you are so good. We thank you that even in those tough times, Lord, when we don't understand everything that's going on, we can take hope and joy, God. We may not be happy, but we can still have joy. We can still know that there are better days ahead, that you're bringing us through this, Lord, and that you're forming character and perseverance and so many other good things in our lives, Lord, and we're going to come out shining. So God, really our prayer should be this morning, don't stop working on us. May we constantly crawl back on the anvil. May we constantly want the upgrade. May we constantly want to be the bigger vessel, not the abandoned tool on the scrap heap. But the refined, pointed, directed tool in the palm of your hand, God. That's what it's all about. Because you didn't just come to this earth to just save us, Lord. You came to save us and to transform us. So keep working on us. We're not there yet, but we know where we're going. We know that your hand is guiding us, steadying us, working on us, Lord, and we thank you for that. Thank you that you are our good, good Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Welcome to the International Community Church Podcast. For more information about International Community Church, visit us on the web at www.icchurch.us.